Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, a guest guided tour through the junk drawer of one man's brain. Hello, John.
I will. One day I will stop laughing at that. Today is not that day, apparently.
And when you do, I'll stop doing it.
Deal.
How are you, John?
I'm good. I have recovered from a cold that my wife is still suffering from. So I don't know like what happened. It seems to have lasted about twice as long with her, and it makes me feel guilty. But I understand that I'm not the only person to have had illnesses or things.
I had some quality time in the emergency room. I have a chronic condition that's flaring up and causing me lots of pain.
Oh, no.
And the two main reasons to go to the emergency room for it are, be sure it's not actually my appendix exploding, just to be safe, and get morphine.
Oh, wow.
But if you say that, they get real weird about it. And if you say, so, you know, could you do the morphine and then do the blood tests? They get even more weirded out. So my terrible recommendation this time around is don't make any jokes about morphine in the emergency room. Although the nurses are allowed to do it, which is really unfair.
I told
one of them what I did, which is run the same electronic health record system that they use at that hospital. Mm-hmm. And she was holding the syringe and looked at me and was like, no morphine for you. She was legitimately Russian. She was not just putting on an accent the way that I just did. But I was like, you can't do that to me. Anyway, it was like the episode of House where Cuddy accuses him of drug seeking. And he's like, yes, I'm drug seeking because I'm in pain.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, I'm sorry about that. I hear morphine is great, though.
You know, every time that I've had it for pain in a, you know, hospital context, I've spent the entire next day thinking that I can do things and then, like, not being able to do them. Like, I slept for 6 hours the next day after a full night's sleep. It feels good once it cuts off all the pain, but then you get a terrible hangover and you sleep all day.
Indeed.
And you're in pain again.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
so
you know, painkillers... There's always going to be a downside somewhere, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Nothing is perfect, except Paisley the dog.
Yes, I am dog-sitting currently. My friend Felicia's dog, Paisley, who is a Red Merle Australian Shepherd with... she's got heterochromia, so she's got one... She's got the David Bowie eyes.
She's got the freaky blue eye.
And the
soft,
brown eye.
Soft, gentle, beseeching brown eye.
Yes, and she is basically the ideal dog. She's, as my friend Dana put it, she's a big floofums.
She really is. She's sleeping on our feet right now.
Yes, she doesn't make any noise and is on a fairly predictable bathroom schedule. So, like, really, there's almost no downside except for the piles of dog hair that now occupy my apartment. But you know what? I have a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, I just skimmed a fistful off of my black leggings. That's okay. That's what I get for rolling around on the floor squealing, Paisley, I love you!
It's true.
It was so great.
And she is happy to, you know, she's happy to be there.
She's super excited.
I really just like, you know, we've had a string of, I think, of like ideal dogs present between Paisley and Lucille from a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
But enough about
Lucille was robbed.
My hope is that they need to restage that contest,
I imagine.
And perhaps Laura will bring Lucille back and, you know, she'll be crowned in her rightful glory.
Lucille Glue was robbed.
It's true.
I'll fight for her any day. Anyway.
Should we? I think it might be time now to introduce our guest.
Possibly past time, yes.
Indeed.
Hello, guest.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm really great.
Do you want to tell us about yourself?
Sure.
Let's just start with his name.
Oh, yeah. You can pick one.
My name is Tim Pratt. I am
boring.
A science fiction fantasy writer for the most part. I edit and stuff too, but mostly I make up lies and sell them for money.
Excellent. That's maybe the best description for an author that we could ever have.
Mm-hmm. He stole it from Elizabeth Baer.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
It was totally unconscious.
Oh.
I always credit her when I steal her line about how nobody who had a clean house ever wrote a novel. I say that when guests come over
nice.
To my place. Man, really?
That's a good excuse. Well, her bio now is, I tell lies to strangers for money.
It's possible that that's a long-running.
It's true. I mean, that is kind of
comic.
That is kind of what you do. Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah.
The vast majority of what I write is urban fantasy, contemporary fantasy.
Nice.
So I like to take the modern world and introduce extreme magical elements to it.
Nice.
And see how people change. So
Chaos Witches.
I just wrapped up an urban fantasy series that's been running for like 10 years,
yeah.
11 years. But I mean, honestly, probably still best known as a short story writer.
Nice.
Yeah, I won a Hugo Award some years back. That was my peak.
Awesome.
It's a nice Hugo.
It is. It was the Japanese Worldcon, so it has Ultraman and Mount Fuji and the Hugo Rocket. Like, they just put it all in there. That's pretty sweet. Yeah.
Outstanding. As much as annoyed as I am with books that are just the first in a series, I read a one and done like a while ago that I am now kind of like, really, I wish there was more. And it's the Goblin Emperor.
Yeah.
I need there to be like two or three more books.
Can I tell you, there is some fan fiction archive of our own. It is not smutty fan fiction. It is like someone thought this out very thoroughly. And like the barbarians on the edge of the empire, they chose to use Latin for their language.
Oh my God.
Like they have this whole rationale about how it's like, they picked it because it would be semi-familiar to readers, but not really. And like, it is meticulous.
Oh, wow.
It's great, and it's, like, cuts right off.
Oh, huh.
Which is very disappointing.
Huh.
But yeah.
God, all right.
That book is so good.
That book is, like, I want, like, a big illustrated volume of paintings. The picture I get in my mind is, you know, anyway, yes. So, just, I actually forgot who wrote that book.
Catherine Addison.
Could somebody get on her and just, you know, be like, are there going to be more? Can she make there be more? I will pay her.
We interviewed her about it for the magazine I work at not that long ago.
What'd she say?
When it came out, that it was really different from the other stuff she'd written, and
that's why
she put a different name on it.
Yeah.
I suppose that's fair.
Yeah, I really enjoy The Doctrine of Labyrinth, but it's pretty much just really, really well written slash.
Super slash ready, yeah, I was going to say. It's like.
Yeah. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. No, it's good.
And her writing is lovely.
And I like her weird, Kyle Murchison Booth,
yeah.
Her science fiction, her
the skeleton
fantasy
key,
series.
He's a, like, something necromancer, consulting necromancer.
Necromancer, so it's sort of Lovecraftian or so, that kind of. Everything is exhausted and run down, and nothing has any energy left, and so you sort of just drift through dusty rooms. And it's a genre of fantasy that I dig.
I have an idea for a whole other podcast that I think we need to talk to Tim about off mic. But speaking of podcasts and ideas,
is this the one that you keep trying to get me to do?
Yes,
you should get Tim to do it.
Yes, no, I agree.
All guests.
But I don't want a podcast where it's just two dudes. Like, there needs to be female involvement at a base level. But you know what? We'll talk about that some other time. I mean,
stay tuned, listening public.
As long as we're talking about ideas, why don't we talk about a bunch of other ideas that I've had?
as is the purpose
of this podcast. So for those who are first-time listeners, I have been writing down every stray idea I've had for the last decade or so, and I've not done a single thing with them. So it's time to put them out into the world, and the way that I've chosen to do that is to have me and Besha sit a friend of ours down in front of the massive list of ideas and have them just poke at it and be like, what the fuck is that thing?
And sometimes John says,
I don't remember.
Remember.
Because my methods for writing down. Exactly. And past me was sometimes not as good a note taker as I would like him to be. Let's turn it over to Tim. Tim, have you found anything you would like to ask about?
Oh my God, there's so many. Well, number 35 is near and dear to my heart. The Ian M. Banks tribute anthology.
Oh God. Oh.
Yeah.
That... The death of Ian... I mean, I've said this before on this very podcast, that the death of Ian M. Banks is, like, the worst thing that has happened to science fiction.
Profound loss to science fiction. Profound loss to literary fiction. Profound loss to whiskey-based nonfiction. Because he wrote a book on Scotch.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. I know somebody who went on a Scotch tasting road trip with him.
Oh, God.
In Scotland.
Ah.
Oh, such envy.
I will confess to never having read... the rest of his literary over, aside from The Wasp Factory.
Which is a great one.
But I mean, like, the culture books were so good. Here's the problem, is that I want this thing to exist, but I don't know how to do it. Because, like, I I mean, obviously, I don't think I could contribute to it. We need to find... I mean, how many writers do we think are out there that would be able to just, like, write in that universe and make something that would be worth reading? I don't know.
This could genuinely be done. This could really be pitched. I'm not the person to pitch it. It would have to be somebody with a more big widescreen SF background. But there are enough space opera aficionados and great writers who love his stuff. I actually did an Ian Banks tribute story, vastly inferior to anything he's ever written, obviously, for a humor anthology, where my premise was somebody basically... a time traveler, an interdimensional traveler, rescues this orphan from a war-torn planet and says, I'm a representative from a Banksvancian advanced culture that is out to make the galaxy a better place, and you're going to help me. And so she goes on adventures, and they steal a lot of stuff, and they overthrow regimes. And then as the story goes on, it's revealed, well, no, there is actually no culture. He just made it up as a good excuse to sort of philosophically motivate people to commit crimes for him. And the response of the person who he kidnaps is ultimately, well, fuck it, we're going to make it happen. We're going to create the culture from the ground up. We're going to do it.
Nice.
I was just talking about the postman today. That's great. It's like the opposite. Just keep making this up to, get people to do good deeds, build a society, believe in something.
That's what science fiction is all about. The triumph of the human spirit.
And secret cyborgs.
And secret cyborgs. Yeah, man, I love the culture.
Oh, God. Yes. So, I mean, yeah. Somebody, if we could just... I just want to seed this idea into the universe so that it can happen in some way, so that I can read it.
I'll send some emails.
Incredible. Incredible.
That's a great idea.
I mean, because, like, tell me if you feel the same way, but, like, I have actually, I think, probably at this point memorized some of the more info-dumpy sections of his books, because those are the parts that I love. I want to read about the weird planets and, like, all the crap that's on them, like, all the time. All the time.
I really wish your hand gestures could come through. John's, like, got his hands clenched in front of his face and just...
just, like, claws. Just reaching for I don't even know what. Like,
reaching
seriously.
For this anthology.
I'm here for the ship names.
Yes.
When I started thinking about writing science fiction space operas, I was just locked up, because how could I ever come up, and I don't even try. You can just never compare. They're so good. There's a whole Wikipedia entry, actually.
The
ship names.
Believe me, I've seen it, and it is the best.
God. All right, so yes, Ian M. Banks tribute anthology.
Yeah, it's got to happen. Definitely has to.
Hell yes. Nice. All right, what else?
Let's wildly shift gears to another interest of mine, Hideous OKC Respondents Video Show.
Okay.
33.
Okay. So, this one would be something where, like, and I'm not sure exactly how to execute it, right? But the seed point of it is you take a woman, you put her profile out on OkCupid, and all of the, like, shit responses that she gets, all the shit messages, like, we need to track those dudes down and put them in a room and then just interview them and just be like, what?
So, were you thinking?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the thing is that I don't know how to do that and not put them immediately on the defensive. So what I think has to happen is, like, you put them in a room seems inviting, and then you have, and this is unfortunate but true, you would have to have, I think, a hot chick host be the one asking them questions. But, like, you know, just to get some idea of what is going on in their minds. Like,
I think you have to do it catch a predator style. I think you gotta catfish them.
Oh.
I think they have to think they're coming in.
Oh.
And then they sit down.
Oh,
with,
yes. No, exactly. You take a hot woman and you put her out on the you put her profile up, and then they message her. She agrees to a date.
Yeah.
Yep. And then you just film that.
And then Chris Hansen sits down.
Yep.
I know I'm not what you were expecting.
No. She sits down, you make like it, but she just asks them the questions, like, so when you messaged me that, like, unsolicited dick pic or whatever it was, like, so what was that all about, you know? And she just pretends to be interested just to get some. I just want to, I don't know if we want to know what's going on. Do we actually want to know what's going on in their brains or not? I kind of do, but at the same time I sort of don't.
Yeah, I have this friend who, when she gets horrible responses, she actually writes back and says, so this is probably isn't going to work for you very often. Here are better ways. And I always kind of get mad at her because, like, don't enable them.
Yes.
Don't give them a better skill set, right? No. This is a wonderful, great filter.
It is.
Kicking them out. They're not going to reproduce anyway, but...
It's true, but I need that... I need it to be... I need to be positive. I need to know that their line will die, like, in the next, you know, like... Like measurable, you know, like just a few decades from now, like in the time from in the Star Wars universe, from when Order 66 was executed to the point where Luke Skywalker is a kid, like nobody fucking remembers the Jedi. Yeah. I want that to be like that, but with MRAs and gamer gators.
Yeah,
like,
but then you raise the spectacle of their, you know, young messiah arising 200 years later.
You know what? Yeah, I need to flip that around. That was my bad. That was my bad.
It's a dangerous precedent.
Yes, this is true. Yes. Okay, next idea.
Number 50 looks great. The out-of-date guidebook for aliens.
Ah, okay. Okay, this... I think what this was is it's a guidebook for Earth that deliberately contains out-of-date information that you disseminate to any alien visitors so that, like, you know instantly.
No matter how good their polymorph is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, their disguise might be on point, but they're going to, like, make weird references to things that weren't actually, like, a thing. And, you know, like, as long as we have a copy of this book and we know, it's like, oh... Okay, yeah.
Can we teach them to call young boys sport? Hello, sport? I am a perfectly normal human worm baby.
The only danger I see is running up against Poe's law. You know, that any real thing can be so horrible that it's impossible to tell if it's satire or not.
Mm.
Because there's going to be somebody somewhere right now who's still calling women broads and talking about their gams and, you know...
That's true.
Who still says, you know, I don't have anything against other races. They should just stay together.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's, yeah. That's Gams, unfortunately, probably doesn't exist, which I kind of love. I think that that's, like, what happened to leg men?
Well, your gender identity is lady, so you're
I mean,
what's
you
that?
Know.
Your gender identity is lady,
I know,
so you're a weird outlier.
I know, but I don't hear people be into, like, legs and talk about that, you know, her gams anymore.
They go all the way up.
Yeah, they do. I think that might be part of it.
In the old noir, yeah.
I suppose that, yeah, that is true. Yeah, that's the only place I ever see that referenced. You know.
Stims. Check out the stims on her.
I somebody did use that once, unironically, in my presence when I was in high school.
Oh, that's a...
So, yeah, I mean, this was a long time ago, but clearly it stuck with me. Also, he was right. I mean, she did. But, like, yeah.
But it's funny, because, like, there are plenty of women with great legs. There are plenty of, like, starlets with great legs, but that's not... Nobody ever identifies that. And I wonder if it's because it's so socially acceptable to just be like, wow, she's got a great rack, that you no longer have to only comment on legs,
right,
which were a little risque.
Right?
Yeah. Shit.
I don't have any stake in this. My legs are perfectly average. Just for the record, listeners.
No, that's you know, that is an interesting point, though. I wonder.
Yeah, so out of date is good, but I think if it's more like the old maps where they would have towns that didn't exist.
Yes.
You know, where they would have, like, trap streets. They
right.
would put a street that wasn't real.
Right.
So you could see if people were plagiarizing. So just complete lies, like things that were never true in any culture.
I've never seen John get up during a podcast, and he must have something he is extremely excited about.
It's
going to
be illustrative, I bet.
Yeah. Trap cities?
So,
trap presidents?
So what I have is a book that I got at the SF, the Friends of the SF Public Library book sale for $1. It's called What's What?
Mm-hmm.
A Visual Glossary of the Physical World. I have no fucking idea who this book could be for, other than alien visitors who want, like, are looking at a thing and being like, nice watch. How about that elapsed time bezel? I have observed the hour hand on the liquid crystal display. Like, it's just, and it's just, it covers everything. There's, like, lacrosse, polo. Do you want to know what the things on a suit of armor are called? Or how about a telephone? Or a horse-drawn carriage?
This probably is really handy for writers, actually. I was going to say.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, I would just like that book about poisons.
Which we've talked about on this podcast before. Anytime I see the great big dictionary that covers all of X subjects in a used bookstore, I just buy it.
Yeah.
Because
you never know
when you need it.
That's actually a good point. I mean,
there's a bit in Barbara Kingsolver about farming and how they decided to breed their turkeys naturally, but nobody knows how to do it. Because all turkeys bred for consumption now are, like, done with artificial insemination. And so people don't actually know what it looks like anymore. Because nobody's going out and watching wild turkeys mate. And so they had to get out, like, these vintage farm manuals that I think were just collect, you know, her husband picked them up at the mm-hmm. at the antique store because they look nice on the shelves, and had to dig around in there to figure out how turkeys have sex.
You want turkey porn on your shelf.
Because nobody knew anymore. So you never know when those will come in handy.
Incredible. That is incredible.
You will never know when you will need to know how a suit of armor works.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is that this book was put out in 1990. Well, copyrights 1990, 1981. I want to say 81, actually, mm-hmm. based on some of the, like, maybe it was just renewed, right. like, labeling and packaging.
Like wow. Yeah, that's really in-depth.
This book is fascinating.
And the next page is, like, before this football player who was being carefully identified, it was, like, a bureau.
So, anyway, yeah.
Aliens.
I feel like my guidebook idea has some precedent.
You just need to seed in some trap objects.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Completely misidentify some things.
Agree.
Or, like, indicate that we eat some animal that nobody actually eats. At least, I guess it's culture-specific. It'd be tough to find one nobody eats.
Mm-hmm. Seagulls.
Oh, seagulls.
Yeah,
seagulls.
Unless people are really, really hungry.
Seagulls look like they'd be good eaten. They got some meat
things
on
that
them.
Taste garbage, that eat garbage, don't usually
No, I mean, I just mean in terms of, like, the
catfish.
Volume of meat on them,
yeah.
right?
Catfish like, are great. They don't taste like anything, although they eat garbage.
It's true. I like a good fried catfish.
Though.
Yeah.
They're not, like, actually picking through trash.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Scum is fine. It's the...
That is a good
stale
idea,
fries
though.
You want to watch out for.
I might use that.
Awesome. Yeah. No, please do. And the same goes for anybody else out there who wants to use any of these ideas. Please use any one of my ideas. I just want credit.
And I'll take a cut.
Excellent. What was I just about to say, though? I saw a thing, a meme on Tumblr that was like, yes, we're all made of star stuff, but so is garbage. So calm the fuck down.
That's right. you ain't special.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, I think we have time for one more entry in the vast book of ideas.
Oh, man. Well, Shoggoth movie looks... I'm interested in how you'd handle that.
I'm not sure either, to tell you the truth. Like, I feel like nobody... I mean, when was the last time somebody tried to mine the Lovecraft oeuvre for, like, an actual... for movie purposes?
Del Toro really wanted to do Mountains of Madness.
He did.
Still does.
God,
but just couldn't...
That would be...
I bet he'd be good at it.
All the giant albino penguins, Del Toro style.
Oh, yeah.
Be glorious.
We should have... I can't believe I'm about to propose this out loud, but a Lovecraft cinematic universe where, like, the first movie is some dumb fuck somewhere, like, you know, like, finds a Shoggoth and, like, some bad shit goes down in a town. They have to nuke the town to get rid of it. But that's, like, just the first movie, right? Like, let's just seed one idea and then we'll just, you know, mm-hmm. just get more of them in there and, now that I've said it, I want it, but also don't.
The special effects are there now.
Exactly.
They work
true. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if it's, I don't know, my favorite Lovecraft mythos things tend to be along the lines of Elizabeth Bear again.
Well, I was going to say Shoggoths and Bloom would
exactly.
be the obvious one.
Where a
next.
Lot of the Shoggoths are there,
uh-huh.
and it's a naturalist is people know that they exist, but
okay.
he's the first person to seriously research them.
Okay.
But the real story is about him, it's uh-huh. about race, it's uh-huh. about World War II.
Slavery and slave races.
Oh,
exactly.
Of course, yes, indeed.
And not... Like, they're there. Mm-hmm. They have to be seen. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some cool shit that happens. But, mm-hmm. like, the real focus is not on that. So, if you take the focus off of it, it's going to be easier to...
Yeah, because if you're, you know, if it's
film.
Fighting Shoggoths, it's the Blob updated, right? Like,
that's
yeah.
So you have to get into that stuff, all the deep, like, slavery stuff. And, yeah, ooh, there's some deep waters there.
It's true.
Well, I just want it to be big enough that I can get figurines... minifigs for my kids' Lego Dimensions game.
Yes! Because
we have Doctor Who, we have Cybermen, we have Daleks, we have Adventure Time. I want, like, a little Lego Shoggoth that I build. Myself.
I mean, surely somebody has maybe, like, created a 3D printable one.
Oh, there, I'm sure there are sculptures.
You know, yeah. But yeah, but like some, like a 3D printable one that you can like print out for interaction with Legos. I mean,
we why just not? Had another idea.
You I think just I think idea. I might have just.
I know. That's good. Lovecraft.
Maybe
things.
Add it to the list, but all, just so that we can cross it off.
Yes. You know what? I'm gonna put that just to log it properly. You know yeah. what I mean?
Non-Euclidean Legos. That'd be another great idea.
Oh no,
man.
Oh no. All right. Yeah. Though that's going in as a sub.
Unspeakable Lego booster pack.
Oh, God.
They call them booster packs. It's been a long time since I've been like this.
Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible. All right. Well, I think that... I think this might mean that it is time to move on to the terrible recommendations phase of this podcast. Wherein we either make a terrible recommendation, or if our guest happens to have an idea that they have just been storing in their brain and know they're not going to do anything with, perhaps would like to disseminate it to the masses. Either way.
I've heard all my ideas, so.
That is entirely within your remit, sir.
Well, my terrible idea is to tell the nurse that you're just here for the morphine. It is a really terrible idea. Don't do it. Things get weird.
You know what? Speaking of medical woes, mm-hmm. my terrible recommendation is to be a person who believes in intelligent design. Okay. Because mm-hmm. how... If there
you've got to be really self-hating to believe that.
Well, but so, like, I was in the shower, and I felt an itch on my back, and I scratched it. I had apparently wounded myself.
Without
knowing it. And then so I scratched off the scab, uh-huh. and now it's bleeding again.
Uh-huh.
So, like, if there was a God behind the design of our bodies, wouldn't he have made it so that the itching happens once it's fucking healed? So, like, it's a signal, like, hey, scratch the scab off, fucker. Instead, no. Just wound yourself again. So, obviously, intelligent design, as if we didn't already know this, is complete bullshit.
Spoken like someone who's never read the story of Job. That's the whole point, right? Just getting fucked with.
Not about it.
They're just trying to make money off a big Band-Aid. So you really should. You should just pick at it. It takes care of itself. It'll go away on its
your
own.
Your body will just heal that.
That's right.
Yep. Your body has ways of dealing with that situation.
At it. Oh,
that's
God.
Right. If it feels natural, do it.
I think those are all three the worst recommendations we could have made right
Idea
now.
Idea Factory giveaway. If it feels natural, just do it.
I can be found online on Twitter and Instagram. I'm a ferocious J. The word ferocious, the letter J.
You can find me on Twitter as Besha, B-E-S-H-A.
I'm on Twitter as Tim Pratt, T-I-M-P-R-A-T-T.
Excellent. And until next time, if you have heard an idea that you like and you want to do, go ahead and do it. I would just like credit.
Yep, I'll take a cut.
And have yourself an excellent rest of your day or evening.
Or morning. Night.
You know, wherever you happen to be listening.
Yeah.